Welcome to New York, Quebec, and the water route to the center of the world. This is bonus episode 18, Martinique's Morne Garnier. The Émile Bertin was the pride of the French Navy, and this light cruiser was built for speed. During May of 1940, the ship was tasked with whisking more than $384 million in French gold from Canada. Upon hearing of the surrender of French forces, the captain of the Émile Bertin made a beeline for the French-controlled island of Martinique. Here gathered the remnants of the French Republic's fleet caught abroad, as the Nazi armies overran France. Placed under control of the Nazi-allied Vichy regime, the gold was stored in a Vauban-style Fort d'Azay. This strong position was located on Morne Garnier, a volcanic mount guarding the western approaches to Fort de France. The gold and naval assets eventually fell under Free French control. British and American naval forces enforced a blockade of sorts and sought the decommissioning of military assets. Les Dissidents, as the resistance on the island was known, fled across the channel to Dominica and St. Lucia to organize against Vichy rule. In late June of 1943, the French garrison on the island rebelled against the collaborator government and were joined by local citizens. The Vichy representative was driven from the island, and Martinique fell under the auspices of de Gaulle. Martinique had always been a French stronghold in the Caribbean and the site of many titanic struggles to wrest the island away. During the Seven Years' War, British forces attempted to cut Martinique off from the north by encamping outside of Fort Louis on Guadeloupe. British capture of the island in 1759 occurred after a failed attempt to invade the French stronghold of Martinique. Tropical fever almost reduced the British forces until naval operations allowed them to flank the defense at Fort Louis. The island was traded back to France for Canada during the Peace of Paris in 1763. Having secured a base on Guadeloupe, the British sought to strike at Dominica, which is the island that lies just north of the French stronghold. In June of 1761, British forces attacked the entrenchments above the capital of Roseau. Their rapid advance took the defenders by surprise, but the British paid dearly in lives for storming the fortifications. Now the British could concentrate on reducing the main French naval base on Martinique. The island of Martinique was defended by a relative of Napoleon's, Beaujosephine. François V de Beauharnais commanded the French forces ensconced in Fort Royal in January of 1762. The original Fort Bourbon, where the World War II gold was headed for, was a site that has played a major role in the history of British and French relations, long before World War II ever intruded upon the Caribbean. The original geographic position was called Morne Garnier, and it provided a stronghold against any military advance toward the city of Fort de France. In 1762, 13,000 veteran British troops landed to seize the island. Included amongst these were two battalions of the 42nd Royal Highland Regiment, better known as the Black Watch. These seasoned campaigners would help secure capture of Martinique and ended major French resistance in the southern Caribbean. First landing on the extreme southern end of Martinique, British forces encountered tough coastal terrain as they attempted to make their way northeast toward the fortifications of Fort Royal. Naval operations allowed them to outflank the fort and disembark at its northern headland. Careful artillery battery construction and naval support helped reduce French resistance in the hilly terrain surrounding the fort. Two companies of Rogers Rangers were also pivotal in scouting and screening operations covering British forces. The island was eventually returned in the Treaty of Paris to France in exchange for Canada. By 1794, the French Revolution was raging and the British were determined to once again strangle the overseas possessions of the French Republic. After making a deal with counter-revolutionary French planters, British forces invaded Martinique. The fort held out for several weeks against intense British bombardment until surrendering. The British retained control of Martinique until 1802, when it was returned to Napoleon under the Peace of Amiens. After changing the name to Fort d'Assay in honor of revolutionary hero Louis d'Assay, the works were improved against further British attack. Mounted with over 100 cannon, the fort posed an exceptional obstacle to any advances from the west. More than 10,000 British forces descended on the island in 1809 and quickly set up siege of Fort d'Azay after pushing back the militia. Under heavy bombardment from both landward siege guns and the Royal Navy in the bay, the fort surrendered after 4 days. Several hundred French casualties had convinced the commander that resistance was futile, the seizure of the island eliminated French power in the Antilles and wasn't returned to France until 1814. British entanglements in the Caribbean and imperial expansion after the initial victories in the Seven Years' War completely changed the relationship between the North American colonies and the metropole. I see the intervening years between 1763 to 1775 as a series of mismatched imperial expectations between American and Britain. Americans come out of the French and Indian War feeling like they have finally proven their worthiness to claim the title of full-fledged British subjects. Britain, on the other hand, is caught up in an incredible effort to rebalance and assimilate the newly enlarged imperial world empire. America's issues are viewed as settled question, and the normal duties of British subjects are expected to be carried out there. British coffers needed to be filled, while French and native peoples had to be secured in their lands under crown rule. American participation in a marginal effort at taxation was taken for granted, but Americans saw British efforts to better stabilize membership in the empire as removal of hard-earned rewards. The French and Indian War is a crucible indeed, but it's one in which Britain's imperial goals are transformed and elevated above its relationship with the Americans. The American colonists are devastated and angered over the intervening years due to a myriad of missteps, but they don't start out as disgruntled in 1763. What makes everything work initially is the British imperial system. The various sects and peoples that populated the New World reached to over 2 million before the Revolution, each colony being extremely jealous, competitive, and willing to throw each other under the bus for land. The British imperial system, especially after the Seven Years' War, had sufficiently melded these disparate and competing political entities into a second pillar of a new transatlantic empire. So it is the birth of the larger British imperial polity that truly unites the British Americans against other newer groups of competing homogeneous subjects. Thanks for listening to New York, Quebec, and the water route to the center of the world.